translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, if he is youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. When in spite of possessing all these opulences, a person is not proud. This means that he is fully aware that all his opulences are due to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He therefore engages all his possessions in the service of the Lord. A devotee knows very well that everything, even his body, belongs to the Supreme Lord. If one lives perfectly in such Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that one's being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered the special mercy of the Lord. If one continues in his opulent position but does not become unnecessarily proud, falsely thinking that he is a proprietor of everything, that is the Lord's special mercy. Omagyana tamirandasya ginanjana shilakaya chakshum militamyena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadam mayam dadati swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadekamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This chapter is entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders His Life. So, in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, one of the treasures of our teachings is that it gives a very clear understanding of causality. What actually makes something happen? In the devotional service that one performs, by performance of devotional service, one may gain so many things. There may be so many opulences that come to a particular individual. As a matter of fact, it is guaranteed that by engaging in devotional service, various types of opulences may be there. They may not necessarily be external opulences, but the brightness of a devotee, the effulgence of the devotee, the good qualities of a devotee, these are opulences. And it's guaranteed that in the execution of devotional service, opulences will come. Now, opulences can also be external, as is being stated here. Aristocratic family, higher states of life, performing wonderful activities, personal beauty, etc. In the engaging in devotional service, there's often a confusion as to what signifies the Lord's mercy. Right? So, someone is in devotional service and they get a lot more money. Right? Of course, all the Vaishyas think that means he must be blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that's what they value. Someone else is engaged in devotional service, and due or while they are engaged in devotional service, the degree of influence that they have increases. Right? The power, the control that they have increases. So then someone thinks, well, this is a sign that they must be doing well, they must be blessed by the Lord. Especially the Kshatriyas will think that way, because that's their value system. Someone else is engaged in devotional service, and in the engagement of devotional service, somehow their wealth increases while they are engaged. Their wealth is increasing. So someone else may consider, this must be the mercy of the Lord. Especially those who have Vaishya mentality, because this is the opulence that they particularly are attracted to, they therefore think, oh, this must be a sign that Krishna is favoring this person, and if my wealth increases, it's also a sign that Krishna is favoring me. All of these are wrong. We can understand that we are receiving the mercy of the Lord if the opulence of devotion increases. These things are sometimes used by the Lord as a catalyst or a stimulus. Krishna is supremely intelligent and supremely personal. And he is supremely interested in every single living entity coming back home, back to Godhead, ASAP. So he knows exactly what is required for each specific individual in their particular journey, to the point that he knows what's required at that particular point in their spiritual life in order to help them to move forward. It is simply the duty of the living entity to cooperate with the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse is interesting because in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is explaining to Arjuna the fate of the unsuccessful yogi, one of the things he says is that that personality who's engaged in devotional service but does not perfect it in that particular lifetime, in their next life they can have one of two births. One, as is mentioned here, they take birth in a rich aristocratic family. Right? And what is the purpose of that? The purpose is simply so that they don't have to worry about finance, worry about money, worry about resources, so they can focus their consciousness on the goal of life. Prema Pumata Mahan. They can actually focus their consciousness on the attainment of love of God. Krishna also explains to Arjuna, they may also take birth in the family of Vaishnavas. And in the purport to that particular statement, Prabhupada speaks about how he and his guru were so fortunate to be born in the family of devotees. So, one thing is what you have, but the real quality and the real indication of sincerity and consciousness is what you do with it. When there is depth of sincerity and depth of consciousness, every single opulence, every single lack of opulence, every single challenge, test, or difficulty becomes a catalyst for surrender. We were giving a presentation yesterday, and it was on different aspects of relationship. And we were explaining how in the Vedic system, it's explained there are six types of marriage. It seems like an unrelated point, but it's related. Bear with me. And it's explained that the Gandhava marriage is forbidden in this age. In Gandhava marriage, what happens is the boy is attracted to the girl is attracted to the boy, and based upon the attraction, they get together. Right? That marriage was acceptable in the previous age, because in the previous age, the people or the living entities in that time, they had such a deeply imbibed sense of dedication, commitment and responsibility. They carried that quality within them. So when they were with someone who they were attracted to, all the necessary qualities to maintain that situation were already present within the living entity. You understand? And in Kali Yuga, that type is banned, and one of the reasons is because people don't have so much that quality. Now, there's a parallel. And this is a parallel that we often experience as devotees. When we go through difficulty, we sometimes will think, why is Krishna making it difficult for me to be a devotee? Why is he giving me these obstacles? But we should understand that if we have a deep and intense level of sincerity and commitment, practically there is nothing in the entire creation that can stop us making spiritual advancement. Immaturity means we blame the circumstance. Maturity means we develop the determination. So, we can be the external devotee or we can be the internal devotee. We can have a spiritual life which is based upon irresponsibility. Irresponsibility aligns with powerlessness. Powerlessness means my spiritual life isn't going so well because of someone else. My spiritual life isn't going so well because of what someone else has done to me. Or we can understand and deeply accept this point that Krishna is my ultimate well-wisher. And he has absolutely no favorites. So whatever is happening, it can be a catalyst for an extraordinary spiritual adventure. We need to learn to relish Krishna consciousness. Because if we don't accept the flavor of devotion, we will be forced to accept so many mundane flavors, which in due course of time just become another source of poison for the living entity. There is no midpoint. There is no kind of standing ground. It's one situation or the other. Now, what is very powerful in here is this quality of detachment that comes out. We think that someone is happy because of what they have. But actually, that is a false consideration on the material platform and on the spiritual platform. Cultured people and spiritualists are happy because of who they are. If you have substance, then whether you have resources or not, there's a certain level of fullness. So the pious person will experience that fullness, and we call that the mode of goodness. Fullness meaning superficial material mode. The spiritualist will have that fullness because of their devotion. But either way, it's what you are that is generating the quality, not what you have. The more that one has, the more insecurity that one generates. This is a lost principle in the modern day society. So there is this myth that the more I have, the happier I'll become. It never works. The more you have, the more you have to defend, the more you become attached to, the less you actually become as an individual. So there's a clue that's being given here. And the clue that is being given here is that substance means character, not resource. Practically speaking, if you take a very skilled individual, right? So you have your self-made millionaire. He's worked his way up from practically nothing. Because of his skill, he's developed all this kind of business empire. You take that person away from his business empire, you put him in another situation, he will generate the entire thing again. Right? Because the potency to generate the resources is a result of the individual. Right? That is the eternal principle. That everything stems from personality. In this mundane world, we're constantly being thrown so much propaganda, and that is that your happiness, your relationships will come by you buying something. So people think, I have to have this particular gadget, I have to have this particular article or this particular resource, and when I get it, then life will really begin. Right? But it doesn't work that way. Even as devotees, we have to be very careful. What happens as devotees is often we're so busy chasing the resource that we have practically no time for relationship. In the Vedic system, the resource is to facilitate the relationship. Why? Because that's what happens on the spiritual platform. All the opulences of the spiritual world are there to facilitate the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. The resources do not replace the relationship. They serve and facilitate the relationship. And how do we make any relationship work? It works by this principle of humility. All relationships work by the principle of humility. Because when there's humility, you can get yourself out the way and bring other people forward as Prabhu. Right? Every single day when we are speaking to each other, we call each other Prabhu. That means that you are my Lord and Master. It means more than that. It means that you are the center of my life, and it is my pleasure and my duty to render service unto you as an intimate member of Krishna's family. And in that mood, there is extraordinary sweetness. There's extraordinary personal strength. Think about this point very carefully. Where does your strength come from? Your strength is coming from the association of devotees that you intimately relate to and serve. Even it's a little esoteric. It is also explained in Shastra that when the heart is open and there's deep empathy towards another individual, one also gains some of that person's good qualities. Which is one of the reasons why we read so much about the qualities of great devotees. We pray to them. We glorify them. When the heart is open in a non-envious mood, in a mood which is lacking in that false pride, by the glorification and worship of other Vaishnavas, we actually become Vaishnavas ourselves. So Krishna consciousness is such a deep and esoteric adventure. It's a science. But the question is, how much do we apply? Here it is being explained that this personality, if he has these opulences and he's not proud, it means he's especially favored by the Lord. Now you can take that a step further. If he has these opulences or she has these opulences and she's not proud or he's not proud, it means that they're actually in touch with reality. What opulence can we keep? How much control do we actually have? Even there are many materialistic people, they all know karma. Karma means that the work you do now is not getting you the result you're getting now. Whatever action one performs now, the result is based upon the activities you've done before, previously. And what you do now is going to set up your situation in the future. So the residents of the spiritual world, what's their situation? They've never done anything sinful in the past. They're never doing anything sinful in the present. Therefore, they'll never have to suffer in the future. You understand? That's actually how things work. Because people in the modern age are so blind, there's absolutely no idea of how things really work. None. And it's a real problem. Because when you can't see, then you fall into the illusion of trying to gain something through exactly the wrong endeavor. So the materialistic person is trying to gain happiness, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. And until they crash, they don't realize. But it's a very, very painful way to learn a lesson. So we as devotees, we have to also be very, very careful. What do you actually want? You see, we can have, you can say the authorities told us we have to do this. Scripture tells us we have to do that. But when you examine your heart, what do you find is actually in the heart? In those moments when we look into ourselves and when we introspect, we will have to consider the degree to which we want Krishna. And the degree to which we want a whole host of other things. And it's to that degree that we're actually not happy. It's an irony. Right? It's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that devotional service has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Most religions will just emphasize you have to be like that because otherwise God's not happy. That verse says, Ahoituki apratiyata yatma supratiditi. Why? In order to completely satisfy the self. It's a completely different angle of vision. So we're not going to actually be happy. We're not going to experience the deepest adventures that this world has to offer. When I say this world, I mean you can be in this world but in a higher consciousness. Until we, and unless we go deeper in our Krishna consciousness. And that opportunity is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to every single individual. Think about this point. Some living entities in this room are gonna go back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime. Why not us? Some living entities in this room are gonna see Krishna face to face. Why not us? If our determination is deep enough, everything just becomes an exciting adventure. Because we're constantly seeing that if I do my best, follow properly, then I can always expect, as is explained here, the Lord's grace, the Lord's mercy. To the point that Krishna's even going to transform me in some ways that I simply cannot imagine. Right? You look carefully at the devotees who've been around for a long time. You look carefully, you can see how this devotional process, especially when they apply it properly and they're sincere, is so transformative. They come in weak, they come out strong. Right? They came in shy, they came out extremely confident. Right? They came in very slow and reserved, but they became extremely dynamic. If we want to go deeper in this process, all you have to do is look, introspect, observe, and appreciate how Krishna is constantly working miracles in your own consciousness and in that of the people that you're associating with. And therefore, we will have constant sources of inspiration to go deeper. This Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a gift for eternity. Right? Because we're trying to make a journey from the material platform to the spiritual platform. That journey requires some fuel. And this fuel is the spiritual inspiration that's coming in the association of Vaishnavas from Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. We don't want to wait till the difficulties come. Fuel up now. We don't want to wait till the difficulties come. Fuel up now. Krishna's so kind and so merciful. He will arrange everything to the nth degree, specifically for your situation. That's how personal the Supreme Personality of God is. And this teaching is just phenomenal. No, to be honest, even as devotees, we don't even know the beginning of what's in these books. Right? We can take one shastra, dive in that shastra for this entire one lifetime, and still not even begin to touch how much is in these books. Because the Shastra itself is multidimensional. Hmm? It reveals itself according to our consciousness. Hmm? Because everything in spiritual life is a relationship. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki, Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Jai Shishi Ganitai Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharaj. So this Shastra is revealing itself according to our consciousness. It's too exciting. This process of Krishna consciousness is too exciting. I was thinking recently about a related point. See here, what often happens when we gain opulence is, let me ask you, what happens when you gain opulences? What happens when a person gains opulences? What can happen? Become proud. So pride is a symptom of which mode? Passion. So actually, practically speaking, for every one of us, there are four versions of the self. Right? There are four versions of the self. So someone is your friend, and they're a devotee. And especially in the beginning, when devotees come, they're very humble. Right? Because they don't know anything, and they know that they don't know. Right? So they're very humble. So that humility, it lends itself to a more sattvic quality, in terms of the ability to hear, to follow, to understand, like that, to serve. So you could say that's the mode of goodness version of the self. There is also the same person who looks the same, but they are in the mode of passion. So there's a mode of passion version of the self. Then there is a mode of ignorance version of the self. And there is also that same living entity fully spiritualized in transcendence. That is the original nature of the self. Four versions of the self based upon one thing, the degree of aversion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Four versions based upon one aversion. The more that we are inimical to surrendering to Krishna, the more we actually shut down our superior qualities and our superior abilities. So you see that sometimes. Your same person that you've been associating with, but they're a different version. Right? And one of the things that can create the different version is this, these opulences. So Krishna's very intelligent. He knows what we need, how much we need, and exactly when we need. Right? And even then, if we still keep pushing the point, he may sometimes give us something that will teach us a lesson in a way that we may not expect. I was thinking of Maharaj Chitraketu, one example. So he wanted a son. He had so many wives, none of them gave him a son, but then one of these wives gave him a son, so she was being favored, the other wives became envious, they arranged to poison that child. So he was actually, by the blessings of Narada Muni, able to bring the soul back into that particular body. And then he actually said to his son, "Dear son, you know, I'm so glad you've come back." And the child said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm your father." And the child said, "Which father?" "I've had so many fathers in so many lifetimes." The point being that even the situations that we're in, these are meant to be educational. Okay? We're not meant to identify with the situation, we're meant to learn from the situation. Okay? This should be the mentality of a devotee. Whatever is happening to you, at the end of every day, you should be able to write to your spiritual master or tell Srila Prabhupada, "What did you actually learn?" think about it. At the end of every day, what did you actually learn about Krishna, about this material world, about the soul and its relationship? In school, when you have exams, when they're young, they may do some tests, and then they look at the results, and they do corrections. If someone is a high achiever in transcendence, what they are constantly doing is they're constantly learning from everything. And that ability to constantly learn, that gives a huge quality of, what's the word I'm looking for? It gives a great taste, it gives a great dynamism, and a great adventure to one's spiritual life. Because every day you can see different lessons that Krishna is sending to you. Different lessons he's sending to you directly, different lessons Krishna is sending to you indirectly, and by using all of these lessons, you grow and develop. Right? You practically become a different person day by day. And as we become more refined in our consciousness, then the same thing that we're doing, the same deities, the same shastra, the same devotees, the whole thing takes on a different dimension. Because consciousness is the key. It is by our consciousness that we are experiencing a different quality of devotional life. So if you want to have a greater experience of Krishna consciousness, it means we want to purify the consciousness, and therefore everything will become very, very different. Okay, let's see if there's any other points we want to mention. Okay. So this is actually a good point that Prabhupada is bringing up in this purport. The conclusion is that one's being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered the special mercy of the Lord. So it's not that having money is a sign of the Lord's special mercy, and it's not that being poor is a sign of the Lord's special mercy either. In 7th Canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada makes the point that one who is too poor, too poverty stricken will have trouble coming to Krishna consciousness. He says that. And he says one who is too opulent, right, will also have trouble coming to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people think, or even devotees, we think that being poor is a sign that we're spiritual. No. A devotee does not value poverty. We value simplicity. Right? We value simplicity. We want resources so we don't have to worry about resources. Right? I was reading something in 7th Canto, where Prabhupada was explaining how the kings had to have prestige in order to rule. It's interesting, right? The opulences and the prestige that the kings had was necessary so they could rule properly. There was no false sentiment. But the special quality of the Vedic kings, as is being brought out here, is that they were not attached to it. So you'd have these great kings, like even when the Pandavas were exiled, they could leave all these opulences behind. Right? I mean, imagine the quality of detachment that, you're worshipped by all the residents of your entire land. You can leave it all in a heartbeat. Can we say that? This is something to work on. Because at some point, something that we have is going to be taken away. Right? Something that we have is going to be taken away. For some people, it will be their health. At some point, their health will be taken away. And then Krishna will see, what do you do when I take that away? For someone else, it will be their prestige in terms of their fame. Right? The prestige, you're a big name like that. Taken away. Now what do you do? For someone else, it can be their wealth. It can be taken away. Okay, well, let's remove that now. What will you do? And we have to be ready to carry on our Krishna consciousness with determination, no matter what is given, and no matter what is taken away. It's a deep science, but it's at the same time extremely exciting. It's extremely exciting. We're in a competition with the material energy. Okay? However much we've progressed in spiritual life, you should know that however far you've gone, the material energy is just behind you. That's it. No matter how far you move ahead, she's just behind you. But that material energy can't touch someone who's actually under the shelter of devotional life. This one lecture I was listening to on Grihastha Ashram, and so the speaker was mentioning how there was a letter or conversation by Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was saying that when devotees engage in too much sex life, then what happens is it leads to the breakup of their relationships, right? Because by engaging in sex life, then what happens is that spiritual protection goes down, and therefore more disturbances enter the relationship, like that. Very interesting, it's kind of esoteric. So people think, well, you know, we'll just set our own standard. Everything that you do, you're held responsible for. Every single thing we do, we're held responsible for. So it's like this. You may be outside and it's raining, but it's completely possible that you're walking in, you're walking outside, it's raining, and you're completely dry. Why? It's not because it's not raining, it's the quality of the shelter that you've taken. You understand? It's the quality of the shelter that we've taken. So an intelligent Vaishnava knows the trick is to take full shelter. Right? That's the trick. We think it's to try and arrange the externals. That's something you can do. But the trick is to take full shelter. Because you will never arrange the external world completely. Right? Because it's outside of our control. But it's not outside of the control of the person that you're taking shelter of. You understand? And shelter has two aspects. There is the external aspect of following, but there's also a mood. Just like in a relationship, it's not just what you say, it's the mood that's conveyed when you're expressing something. So shelter is an activity, and it's a mood. Right? It's a mood of humility. It's a mood of dependence. It's a mood of recognizing that unless I take shelter of Krishna, there's no way that I'm going to actually be able to make it by my own endeavor back home, back to Godhead. So the activity and the mood, these things give the flavor of spiritual life. Because the more that we're sheltered by Krishna, the more we're embraced by the Lord, the more we feel His presence. And in that mood of shelter, then whatever happens, you can say actually it's auspicious, ultimately. Right? In that mood, ultimately we can say that everything that happens is auspicious. We stop at 8:30? Yeah? Okay. So we'll stop there maybe and see if there are any questions or comments that anyone has. Yes.